Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Well, here at CMDA's headquarters in Bristol, Tennessee, we have a dedicated prayer time each and every week when we get to sit down to specifically pray and call upon the Lord's mercy and providence to meet the needs of our members. And each week, our staff members also pray for members on a first-name basis, because we know the value of prayer. We also know the extreme pressures and burdens that our members and supporters and those who are involved in this ministry carry as they seek to bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world through healthcare. It is our privilege to lift up our members in prayer to Christ before His throne of grace. On this week's episode, we've invited a CMDA member that we've specifically mentioned during those prayer times. Her sobering story about the trials of burnout is also an incredible testimony about the importance of repentance and the amazing redemptive power of God. One of God's most endearing Hebrew names to me is Jehovah Mephalti, the God who rescues. So let's keep listening to hear more from Dr. Zandra Cheng, whom God rescued from a difficult and dark place in her career as a general surgeon. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I am joined by our Vice President of Missions and Member Care, Pastor Burt Jones, or PBJ as he's sometimes called, because we've got a wonderful guest today to tell us her story about a crisis of burnout. Mm-hmm. So, Burt, it's our pleasure this morning to welcome to CMDA Matters Dr. Zandra Cheng. She is the second of four daughters born to Chinese immigrants. But she's the only one who chose to go into medicine and has been a Christian since watching the movie King of Kings at age 16 and has been learning since then what it's like to make Jesus the center and the Lord of one's life. Now, Zandra, there are three things in your bio that just really stand out to me that I think I want to hear the answer to and hear a little bit more, and I think our listeners will as well before we get into talking about how our Center for Well-Being has made a great difference in your life. But you say, quote, "God handpicked my medical school, led me into surgery when I wanted to do primary care, had me marry someone that I didn't even date, and then I had a younger son who was at Sandy Hook, Connecticut school when the shooting happened there at the elementary school some time ago." And I want to hear a little bit more about why you ended up in surgery, first of all, when you really wanted to go into primary care.
So I would say that, you know, we always have ideas about what we want to do, and then the Lord always has a better plan for us. I think, you know, it all started with me in terms of medical school in general, you know, when I didn't think I would go. And then he showed me that's where, you know, I could see myself for the rest of my life. And then I thought I would do primary care. And I didn't think I would do surgery. And yet when I was in medical school, I had all the anatomy professors, everybody going, "Do you want to do surgery?" I mean, because I guess I did good dissection. I was like, "Oh, no. And then when I actually got into the OR, and I'm sure for a lot of surgeons, they would understand this, it was just clear that was where I was meant to be. And so then, you know, I got to my internal medicine rotation, which I was looking forward to. And hopefully I won't offend any of our internal medicine colleagues, but I had wanted to stick a pencil in my eye at the end. So I was one of those, as surgeons, we want results. And it just... God made me impatient, you know, that's the way he made me. And I came to learn about that. So he led me to surgery. I thought I was going into pediatric surgeries because it combined two of my great loves, you know, pediatrics and surgery. And so that led me to Hershey Medical Center. And at that time, I knew when I got there, that was where God wanted me to be. And that was also combined into the whole story of then my husband and myself, in terms of we are going to the same church. I actually had turned my husband down when he asked to date me because I had come out of not such a good relationship. There was a thing in medical school where it was like, if you wanted to get married as a female, be my roommate, because whoever was roommate with me always got engaged. I went to Urbana. While I was there, I thought God was going to tell me where to go, like French-speaking Africa, do medical missions. But then instead, ended up reading a book called Should I Get Married? Though I knew the answer. And when I got done with that book on our trip back from Urbana, I was a little freaked out because I felt like God was telling me I was to marry my husband. And I was not physically attracted to him. And I was like, whoa, this is like, and so during the interview, when I was at Hershey, it was great. It was all those things that just knew that that was where God wanted me to be. And my husband and I were friends. And I remember telling him about it. And he was like, why do you sound sad? And I'm like, you're crazy. I'm not sad. Why would I be sad? But when I got off the phone, I realized it was because I was thinking in my head, Lord, if I'm supposed to marry him, how's that going to happen? You know, my husband was in San Diego. His mother had been killed just 2 years prior. His younger sister was 10 years younger. He was the legal guardian. I was like, this is never going to happen. You know, I couldn't see it happening. I mean, we hadn't even dated. But that was where I learned, and I think many of us learned, that you just have to get on your knees, you know, have that heart-to-heart talk with God, and then just had to surrender. I had said, Lord, you know what? If this is what you want, you're going to have to make it happen. And when I did pray that, I knew with absolute certainty and peace that I would marry my husband. Long and short is, unknowns to me at the same time, God was working on my husband, making him read a book that said, Finding Love Your Life, though he didn't want to read that book. God had told him to ask me to marry him. He didn't know what the answer was going to be. And he even told his younger sister, who promptly got off the phone with him, told her college Bible group to please pray for him because he was going to get heartbroken. And so then February 7th, when we were having a conversation, I guess long and short is that's when he just asked me to marry him. And I looked at him, I said, yes. And he said, what? Did you just say yes? and that's how we got engaged. He did ask to kiss me and I told him no, because I was not physically attracted to him yet. And God worked that all out. And then he took us to Hershey, Pennsylvania, you know, and things. And that's where he led me eventually into breast surgery instead of pediatrics. God always gives us what we need. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my husband and I had just said, we're going to wait to have kids because I was going to do pediatric surgery residency. And then he gifted us with our oldest son, Andrew, who we found out later was autistic. But, you know, if we hadn't had an autistic child, we never would have been able to have been young parents. We had no family support, et cetera. And, you know, his autism was very mild, actually, but it was exactly what we needed at the time. And then we had my second son, Declan, in Maryland. And then eventually God led us to Connecticut. And the rule was I got to pick the job. My husband, James, picked where we lived. And the Lord led us to this house in Sandy Hook. In fact, it was in the exact same neighborhood that the shooter was in, though we didn't know it at the time, of course. And then when the shooting happened, you know, in Sandy Hook, that was one of those days, as I look back, I know it was a very dark day, but to me, it was also one of those days that really confirmed that we were all made in the image of God, because so many people did struggle with why did this happen? How could it happen? And God revealed to me that, you know, we were created in his image for good, right? And so the reason we struggle is because we were never meant to understand evil. We were never meant for that. And so, you know, part of our God image in us is the need to try to understand, because if we could understand it, it wouldn't be so bad, right? But we weren't meant to understand that. And so we should take comfort for the fact that we can't understand things that happen that are evil.
Thank you for answering all three of those questions for us. And I was thinking maybe you had an arranged marriage, and it turns out it was a divine arranged marriage. Well, you've been practicing breast surgery after you did a fellowship in 2004-2005, and fast forwarding here to the last 2 or 3 years, you got on the radar of our life and leadership coaching team because a climax or a crisis. We hear a lot about burnout among physicians, surgeons, and in our culture today in medicine. And yours came, it seemed, to a head in a very poignant way. Can you tell us about that experience?
Sure. I think that with the onset of the pandemic, there are a lot of issues of burnout, but there's also a lot of, like, I would call them like layoffs. I mean, nurses were let go. There are other healthcare workers who were let go. And actually, my partner was also let go. we were a two-surgeon practice along with the nurse practitioner. And the way in which it came about was a little bit unexpected, sudden, and I was expected to assume the volume of the entire practice. And granted, with the pandemic, when everything shut down, the volume dramatically decreased. But as things kind of ramped back up, it was a lot of volume. And I think this is one of those things about burnout that I think many people probably have gone through, and that is you feel like you have to step into it. You know, who else is going to see the 24-year-old who just got diagnosed with breast cancer? You know, there's no other breast surgeon around. You know, how can I say, you know, no, I won't see her, or no, I can't see her, or, you know, we'll make time for her, you know, and things. There were things like that that kept happening. And so part of me, I think, just felt like I had to do it, because, you know, if I didn't do it, who were these people going to see? Who's going to take care of them? And then the other part too, I think, was I was angry. I was angry at our administration for not realizing what was going on. I think, you know, to a certain degree, I was also just really prideful that, hey, I can do this. You know, I did surgery residency before there was 80-hour work week. You know, I can do this, you know, kind of thing. And basically the long short is, as I was barreling down this road and I knew I was going in the wrong direction, but I didn't know how to get myself out. My son actually even said to me at one point, "Mama, I'm really worried about you." So that all came to a head finally. And I was also begging for help. Finally, I got to a point where I said to my boss, my administrators, "I need help. I just can't do this. I can't do this anymore." They said, "Hang in there. You're doing great. We'll get somebody. Just hang in there, though. You're doing okay." You know, until it wasn't okay. When I basically, I was supposed to be taking time off. I was supposed to be on CME. And instead, I was in the office. I was doing stuff, running tumor board. And that day, I was supposed to go see my primary because I was having migraines and things. And as I was going home, it was about close to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I fell asleep at the wheel and drove off the road. Mm. By the grace of God, the exit I drove off of, I did take a picture of this. My car literally went between the exit sign and the lamppost. Mm-hmm. If I had gone just a little bit too one side or the other, my car would have crashed. I would have probably been severely injured. As it was, I woke up when the car went off the road. It actually went up there was a little incline. There was actually a grassy incline, mm-hmm, before some trees. Mm-hmm. So the car actually stopped right before it hit the trees.
An angelic guidance, mm-hmm, system, so to speak.
Absolutely. I have to say, it was just completely the grace of God. But that served as the wake-up call, realizing I had to do something. I was, I did go to my primary care appointment. My son drove me. I was placed on medical leave. And this is how bad I was, in that I had begged my primary. I literally begged my primary to let me operate the next day because I had a full day of cases to do. She said to me, "Do you really think you can do it?" I was like, yeah, I can do it, you know, but please let me do it. I mean, that's how bad I was. And she made me promise the moment I finished my last patient that I would turn off my pager, you know, and things. And so also, obviously, my husband knew, and he was obviously distraught too. And I knew something had to change, but I didn't know what. And that's when I had heard about CMD Center for Wellness. I had gotten emails, heard a couple podcasts, and I said to my husband, "You know what, would it be okay if I reached out?" And he said, "Yeah, because I don't know what else to do either." Mm-hmm. So reached out. Ken Jones gave me a call. And Ken, if you ever talk to him, he'll say he still remembers the tone of my voice and what I sounded like that day. And he had gotten off the phone and he said he had to really pray about whether or not it would be the right decision to take me on as a coachee. Because when you're coaching, you also need a person who, it's not therapy, okay? I was at a point where it was kind of a borderline thing. I was getting physical therapy. I actually had to get both physical and medical therapy as well. And so Ken said he prayed about it, but the Lord did lead him to help coach me. And through our coaching, I have to say, it was one of the things that for CMDA, you know, I think that really helped me about burnout was realizing that for me at least, the solution to burnout, there were several things, but one was about repentance. you know, repentance is being not just sorry about where we were or what we were doing, but is actually turning and going in the direction that God wants us to go. And that was one of the greatest gifts, you know, through CMDA, I think, through the coaching, was to get to that point of repentance. I think for some listeners, they'll be like, what? Because it sounds like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. we're doing everything right. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to. We're taking care of people. But really, when we step back and think about it, in God's kingdom, you know, it's not about how many patients we see or sick people. I mean, even Jesus didn't see everybody. You know, one of the things I came to recognize was just the sin of pride to say, like, I can do this all. Mm-hmm. When even Jesus didn't, mm-hmm. you know, heal all the sick, he didn't do it. He would actually go away from the crowds because he understood what was the most important thing. Yeah. And so that was one of the, I think, the greatest blessings for me. One of the sweetest things about coaching was to come to that point of repentance and realizing that I needed to turn to confess what I had done wrong too. Was to, you know, not doing what God really wanted for me. And this was not honoring him or, you know, doing his kingdom work, but to rediscover again what the Lord wants us to do for his kingdom. And in that same way, you know, reestablish that relationship that he desires so strongly for each of us and why Christ died for us on the cross. So that was a huge, huge blessing to cover it, I feel like.
Dr. Chang, we're so glad that you reached out to the center and responded to some of those emails and podcasts you heard. I was reading the other night, an A.W. Tozer, first thing that comes in your mind when you think about God is the most important thing to you. As you think about God and this crisis you've been through, what have you learned about God and what's important to you now, having gone through this?
I think that God, again, loves us so much that he only wants the very best for us. And it's not necessarily what we think is the very best. You know, we can think this is what we're supposed to do, but really when we step into what God has created us for in the way that he desires for us, then only in that way can we be blessed and be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. You know, through my burnout experience, I also came to, and why repentance was so necessary was that even though I thought I was doing something good, great, whatever you want to call it, in terms of seeing all these breast cancer patients, taking care of all these patients, you know, not putting boundaries on the number of patients I would operate on and so forth. My decision to do that also impacted like other people, like the OR staff, you know, who were willing to stay extra hours for me. But in doing that, my choices also led to negative impacts on other people. Mm-hmm. And when I chose instead to, you know, repent of that, to really put those boundaries in place, to take care of people, I do believe that's what God created me to do. But when I did it according to his way, then it became a blessing to those who are around me as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the things that I learned that was so important. And again, I think coaching helps because it's not meant to give us the answers in the sense of coaching is about, you know, that the coachee is the expert. And truthfully, I did know all these things, but it was, again, I needed another fellow believer to help me. I think that's why God created us as a body, you know, to be there for one another, to help each of us glorify the Lord in our lives to the best of our abilities, but to help us and also to keep us back on track when we wander away. He didn't make all of us, you know, kind of solitary and individual.
I've got to believe, as I hear your story and I've heard it from our team, that there are other people listening today who are in a similar situation and they just haven't made the phone call yet. Mm-hmm. I've had some people say to me, well, Bert, when I'm going through a crisis or burnout, I don't need someone to ask me a question. I need someone to tell me what to do. And they kind of challenge the idea that the Center for Wellbeing uses a coach approach to things. I'm just curious, how beneficial was the approach of the Center for Wellbeing, the coaching approach, to asking you questions versus just telling you what to do? What did you learn from that?
I think one thing it did is it helped me to really examine my beliefs. You know, I think we have beliefs that we don't even realize we have, and to realize how faulty they were. Doctors are used to telling others what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the experts at other people's problems. But, you know, that adage, doctor thyself, we're not good at that. Uh-huh. And that's where coaching, in some sense, it does, in the sense that we do have the answers. But it's helping us to realize, I mean, I think, again, if it wasn't for the very insightful and thoughtful questions posed to me by the coach, I don't know that I would have come to that point of repentance that I did. And in that time, I remember, you know, when that turning, that it was such a sweetness as well. And I think because of that, it helps me going forward not to fall back in the same patterns. Mm. We're very much creatures of habit. And I think that had it not been for CMDA's coaching and helping me to come and examine these beliefs through those thoughtful questions and not just handing me the answers, you know, so to speak, mm-hmm. but me actually coming to realize, finding what the wrong beliefs are, pulling them out and putting them, you know, going back to God's word and putting in the right answer, so to speak, I think I would have easily have fallen into burnout again. Could have been a different place. It could have been, I don't think it would have been a different job per se, but I just would have just fallen back into the same thing.
Zandra, we talk about as a coachee that there are aha moments that the person being coached comes to. And one of those apparently for you was that you needed to move your practice location and you need to move to a different location because your current practice was not going to allow you any kind of work-life balance and peace. And so that obviously took a lot of courage for you to change practices and I guess move to a practice in New Jersey. How did your coach help you through that transition?
I think one was the fact that he asked me, you know, to think about what were the measures in which change would happen and what were the things that I was going to accept and to really verbalize it. And what if it doesn't happen? You know, that was not something that I ever really thought about before, but to actually think things out a bit better. Like if this, you know, what would it look like in an ideal situation? What would have to change for me to stay in the job? And what would make me leave? And to actually verbalize those things and to think those things out and to put it in concrete terms was extremely helpful. With the overall, again, in the context of, this is because what do I fundamentally believe? That my work here is not for man, you know, it's for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so how is this work reflective of advancing the kingdom of God instead?
In the coaching process, one of the questions we ask at the end of every coaching conversation, what new awareness have you gained about yourself through this conversation? Mm-hmm. Well, because burnout can be reoccurring sometimes because the demands don't change. I'm just curious, what did you learn about yourself? What new discovery as you went through the coaching process that's been beneficial to you since then to kind of stay healthy?
I think I learned about the importance of boundaries and why they exist. You know, I learned that at least when I was going through medical school, I'm sure Dr. Chup is the same thing for you. You know, we were taught the patient comes first. And while it's not that I'm saying that that's bad, but it also blasts apart a lot of boundaries. And we all need boundaries. If you don't have boundaries, you know, if there are no boundaries on the freeway, right, we would have accidents all over the place. And God put in boundaries for us as well. And I learned that I had a tendency to just let people push my boundaries, you know, in the name of taking care of the patient. And that was not, it's not part of God's plan mm-hmm. for us, for anyone.
How has coaching helped you become a better physician and also maybe become a better wife and mom?
I think it's made me really pause and examine some of the beliefs I've always held. I know that from the coaching 501 class, it's kind of interesting learning about some of the coaching techniques and then actually using some of those coaching techniques with our patients as well. So instead of just telling the patient what to do, because a lot of times for us as doctors, we're frustrated when patients aren't compliant. But when you use a coaching technique, it actually, again, the coachee is the expert. When you get them to realize, you know, what they need to do and they agree to it and they come up with the plan, it's actually better medicine because they actually do what's better for them.
Yes.
You know, that is probably one of the coolest things about coaching, you know. And I'd say, you know, again, as a wife too, I mean, it's again, that understanding of, about boundaries and thinking about it and how that, again, you know, what I was doing was not at all God honoring. And I, as you know, as a physician, as a wife, as a mom, and the importance of those relationships that God gives us, you know, the first and foremost is with himself, then with our spouse, then with our family, then others. And so again, God helping me to re-examine with the help of my coach, those beliefs, you know, I knew them to be true, but I wasn't putting them into practice and showing me where that was wrong, but how I could go in the right direction as well.
Zandra, you are, I think, as I've heard your story, listen today, you are the poster child of the Center for Wellbeing. Came to us in burnout, you got coaching, you've been through our coach training, you're healthy today. If we were to say to you, hey, we want you to be the marketing director for the Center for Wellbeing, and there's all these people listening today, what would you say to the people who are listening about reaching out to the Center for Wellbeing and how that ministry here at CMDA could be of benefit to them? What would you tell them?
I'd say if you're even thinking about it, you should give them a call. Just because, I mean, if you're at that point where it even crosses your mind, hey, maybe this could help, you don't have anything to lose. And, you know, and God put that thought in there for a reason. And so I would strongly encourage them to go ahead and take that step of faith, you know, and see what God does. Because when we do step out in faith, you know, and through especially an organization like CMDA, you know, I think there'll always be fruit, you know, and it's so, like, I never thought I would have something like this to share. When I first was approached about it, I was like, what? Because it's, I'm like, really? But again, seeing what God has done, I mean, this is one of those things where I see this as a ministry that it's not about any one individual. It's about what God has done for others and what he is doing for his king. Each one of us, I think, truly wants to pursue God with all of our heart. And this is one of those ways that God has enabled us. He's given us this wonderful organization. Take advantage of it. Reach out.
Well, Mike, I hope that some people listening today will take her challenge and call us at CMDA, or the best way to do it is just email us at coaching@cmda.org. Coaching@cmda.org. And our coaching team gets those. We respond to those immediately. And we would love to contact you and pray with you and tell you about the opportunities we have here at the Center for Wellbeing.
And coach training, they can find out about that on the web as well,
right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Cheng, for spending part of your early Monday morning, the beginning of your week with us. And I'm remembering as we're having this conversation that the founder of coaching at CMDA is Dr. Steve Sartori. He shared with me a very powerful scripture that I'm going to close with today from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I don't know if it's Steve's life verse, but he shared it with me. And God is able. He is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I think it's a great theme verse for coaching,
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Grace is able to help us through and for us to abound. And so you've given us many examples of how God has enabled you in a surgical breast surgery practice to abound with your family. And so, again, thank you for being an example and encouragement to our listeners today to avail themselves of this service that we call Life and Leadership Coaching.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for the honor of being able to share my story.
You know, hearing Dr. Cheng's story about falling asleep at the wheel and driving off the road was particularly chilling. And just listening to it was such a strong reminder for me that we've got to be diligent in being aware of our surroundings. Not just our surroundings while driving, but also our surroundings as we practice medicine or surgery or dentistry or any one of the many disciplines that our members and constituents at CMDA use to serve patients each and every day. We may not realize how quickly we are barreling down a dangerous path toward extreme burnout until we actually find ourselves in the same type of situation that Zandra found herself in. I'm so thankful that the Lord used that accident as a wake-up call for Zandra, helping her to realize that she needed to do something to make a change in her life. I'm also very thankful that CMDA's Center for Well-Being, it was there for Dr. Chang to help her overcome her burnout and start taking steps toward that place of repentance that she described for us today. Unfortunately, we know she's not the only Christian in healthcare who's facing the threat or the impact of burnout right now. Busy schedules, overwhelmed clinics, increased workload, and so much more, they contribute to burnout among healthcare professionals. If you are finding yourself in the same type of crisis that Zandra was in, and you know that you need to rediscover the calling God has for you in His kingdom and the right weekly rhythm that He intends for each of us, CMDA's Center for Well-Being is here for you.
CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Well-Being. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is a place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence. And our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/well-being to learn more.
Thank you, Jamie. You know, on this week's episode, you've heard both Zandra and Pastor Bird share about the value of CMDA's coaching programs. And if you're interested in being a coach, the Center for Well-Being has two upcoming courses that you should check out. First is the popular 501 Foundations in Coaching course. You know, I've taken that class and I keep on benefiting from what I learned there. The second is the new Mentoring with a Coach Approach course. Both of these are virtual, each meeting once a week for either 5 or 6 weeks, depending upon which course you take. And both of them also offer continuing education credits. You can find out more information about both of these options this fall at cmda.org/events. We do have two additional resources that I think will prove incredibly beneficial for you if you're facing burnout, and both of them are available in CMDA's new online bookstore, which is a partnership with christianbook.com. The first resource is a book called A Minute of Margin: Restoring Balance to Busy Lives by physician author Dr. Richard Swenson. With 180 daily readings, this book addresses the need to close the gap between rest and exhaustion in our overloaded lives. If you feel underrested and overwhelmed, steal a minute to reflect and revitalize with Dr. Swenson's prescriptions for peace. You know, by reestablishing leeway between your schedules and your limits, you'll be free to live more peaceful lives. The second book I want to recommend is entitled Whispers, A Daily Devotional for Healthcare Professionals and Their Patients, and it's by former president of CMDA, Dr. Al Weir. You know, in this book, Dr. Weir asks if you are listening for God's whispers in the midst of a chaotic and hectic life that's may be filled with responsibilities as well as distractions. Can you even begin to hear His voice over the roar of everyday life? As a respected oncologist, Dr. Weir knows what it's like, and he will show you how to stop and to pay attention and listen for God's whisper as you seek to follow His will. You can get your copy of both of these books in the new CMDA bookstore by going to cmda.org/bookstore. And by the way, you can sign up to receive CMDA's weekly devotions, which are also written by Dr. Weir. These are thought-provoking messages and are designed specifically for healthcare professionals and the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis. If you're not yet subscribed to receive this email from us, just please visit cmda.org/blog to sign up. Next week, I humbly ask you to tune in for a great discussion with Dr. Paul Hayner. He's a member of our CMDA Ethics Committee, and that Ethics Committee has been functioning to help us as Christians in healthcare for many decades now. He was the lead author on CMDA's newest ethics statement, which is a guiding statement on how to handle disagreements between Christians on bioethical issues of our day. He's got some great insights into this topic, and I think you'll really enjoy listening. As always, if you want to suggest a future guest for us on the podcast, you can just email us using cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. As I close out this week's episode, I want to repeat one specific comment that Zandra made. It stuck with me from our conversation. She said, "God loves us so much that He only wants the very best for us. When we step into what God has created us for in the way that He desires for us, then only in that way can we be blessed and be a blessing to others," she said. If you find yourself under the all-consuming weight of burnout, please accept the challenge that Zandra gave you and start taking advantage of the resources that CMDA has available just for you. Because as we've discussed today, only when we are following God's purpose and plan for our lives can we be blessed and be a blessing to others. And in doing so, we will be better equipped through God's grace to bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, friends, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.